You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Kingsley switching in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Going to try a long hit. What a goal tonight. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in everybody to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Busy getting my props up for anybody who's watching here. We got a couple of Soccer Matters hats here, courtesy of Lamont Brands. Had a nice conversation with Joe George and Raheel. Good to see Raheel. And he's a big fan of Cactus Music, too, by the way. So we got a good one tonight here. Lots to get into. We got teams winning titles in various leagues. We're going to get into that. Premier League drama for sure. Manchester United today goes down 1-0 to Everton and 10 men. That's an amazing story. Two teammates get in a fight and a guy gets sent off. Unbelievable. You don't see that very often. Pulisic providing the difference in the Milan derby. I would say there's a lot of people who don't like him because of this Gold Cup thing. I find it very strange. Cristiano Ronaldo hit the bicycle kick in Saudi Arabia, only to be matched by Lionel Messi, who, along with his inner Miami teammates, destroyed Cincinnati 4-0 on the road. By the way, Messi had a goal and three assists. Liverpool downward spiral continues. We'll talk about that. Arsenal stay at the top, defy the critics in the North London derby. Well, I think everybody expected them to win, but it's a derby. They did it comfortably. And yes, a fight between two teammates ends in a sending off today here for Everton, yet they go on to win 1-0. Stream ESPN975.com. Call in number 713-780-3776. Want your participation here tonight. 713-780-3776. Is the number to call in. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock, and let's get after it tonight. All right, let's start off with AJ. Let's start off with the Christian Pulisic goal. Now, this was the Milan derby, and again, I want to remind you, this is an American that is one of the top players in the Serie A. 16 goal contributions, I think, last year. He's producing in big, big games, 70,000 people at this game. He's coming off an injury and he produces the game winning goal. It is an American in Italy. I don't know if we realize, and I've said this on the show a lot, I don't know if we realize how much pressure that is and how much expectations are raised because you are an American. So here's Pulisic's goal. This would be the difference as Milan would beat Inter Milan.
Fofana, here's Liao, Fofana again, and on for Salamakers. Salamakers, and Pulisic is there to convert the rebound. He's done it again in the derby, a scorer in two Milan wins against Inter last term, and Pulisic healthy once more, and firing again.
So here's Christian Pulisic post-match, and here's his sound. Now this is from CBS Sports Galazzo. We're going to give them credit for this. and we're going to do the interview here, and it also includes the commentator.
Christian, congratulations on getting the winner with that follow-up. That is your third goal in this derby across all competitions. What does it mean to you?
It means everything. Honestly, just the result today means even more. Puts us in a good place. And, yeah, I'm really happy to come back after some tough moments in the last month to come back and help the team to win.
What does that say about you as a player? Of course, you had been out with the injury. This is your first start since then, and you've just shown the manager just how valuable you are.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think I can improve even more. I don't feel 100% sharp after coming back from an injury and some time out. But it just shows the resilience, and I work really hard, and I'm happy a moment like today can come. So it means a lot to me.
Your teammates were also extremely happy. Let's talk about the results in this derby, because you have now beaten Inter in four of the last six. In fact, you are unbeaten in that run as well. What do you put it down to?
Honestly, just the way that this team has suffered, even when we're up goals, and you can see in the last 30 minutes the way we defend. I just think I think we have a really good team spirit. The team's will is incredible. No matter what happens, we've gone down and we've come back. We've gone up and we've defended. I think we just have seen the games through, and we feel confident going into the games.
A word on your goalkeeper, Mike Maignan, because he also had an incredible game. Of course, getting a hand to that Lautaro shot in the first half and then saving the penalty in the second half.
I mean, one of the best goalkeeper performances I've seen in my career, truly. Not just the penalty. I mean, that was amazing. But in the first half, some big saves. Just over and over again, he's saving us. So it was a really amazing performance.
Just finally, you speak about suffering as a team. You're now up to second in the table with this victory. What message are you sending to your rivals about the race for the Scudetto? I know it's only match day 12, but every point is important, of course.
Yeah, of course. For us, we're not looking at, right where we want to be at the top of the table the whole season. It's when it comes down to it, we have to be there. So we take it game by game. Big performances like this against big teams helps us a lot. And, sends a message to hopefully the rest of the league. But we just have to keep going and finding consistency.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right, you like Pulisic or not? I like him. 713-780-3776. I love seeing an American successful at a top club like Milan, trying to bring them back to the glory years of Maldini, Barrese. The names just go on and on there. I love it. And I think there's a lot of different reasons why people don't like him. I guess the Gold Cup thing really irritated a lot of people. I just think it's different now. It's the modern era. I don't think he handled that very well. Frankly, if he was going to take off, I hope he respected the manager. And then you go and you go quiet. You go underground. He was showing up on videos and things. So I don't know about that part of it. I didn't like that. I didn't like his dad coming to his defense either. But what I do like is him scoring goals and playing well. I also like the fact that him and five national team players that are considered starters had to sit and watch a group that included a lot of Major League Soccer players absolutely destroy Uruguay 5-1. And that's healthy, and we've spoken about this on the show. Mauricio Pochettino would not have had the depth in this squad if not for the Gold Cup and the absence of others to give people like Max Darfston a chance, Christian Roldan, Matt Fries. You see what happened here? And he stuck with guys who made mistakes in the beginning, like Max Darfston, and they're now really viable depth pieces. And at some point in the World Cup, I bet you one of them starts. I mean, Fries is going to be the starter. He seems the incumbent right now. But this is a stroke of genius. Without giving those guys opportunity and relying on a smaller base of players, you would not be going to this World Cup with depth. And by the way, next up is Spain and Portugal. And it's going to be incredibly interesting to see what Mauricio Pochettino does with all the incoming players like Tim Weah, Tyler Adams, Christian Pulisic, Anthony Robinson, hopefully is going to be getting healthy. That's a big worry, I think, right now. And also Chris Richards. All right, so there's my take on that. Let's go now to Nottingham Forest, who just waltzes right into Anfield and Liverpool and take a 3-0 victory over Liverpool in vaunted Anfield, Mario scoring first. So Forrest would get goals from Mario, Jesus, and then Morgan Gibbs-White. Those three would score goals. We got it now, AJ? Okay, let's go with Mario.
And it's come back post for Murillo!
Yes.
To fire home!
There you
and
go.
And put Forrest in front at Anfield for a second year in a row. 32.
Okay, this is a little looser broadcast because this is Nottingham Forest commentators from Nottingham Forest TV. So it's kind of interesting. You'll see the difference between a national call and the local call. You know, you got guys laughing on there and, you know, they're really cheerleading. So here's Jesus, the second goal for Forrest.
In goes the ball into the penalty area.
Yes!
Wins it! And Jesus fires!
They get a little over the top. But listen, this is massive for Nottingham Forest, who, by the way, won the European Cup twice, 2 years in a row. And they'll get a third goal from Morgan Gibbs-White. Oh, okay. Okay, so Morgan Gibbs-White would get the third. It ended up being 3-0 for Nottingham Forest. So Liverpool, I think, is, what, like 1-1-6? It's a nightmare. So Mario, they called him Murillo, but it's Mario in the 33rd, Nicolo Savono in the 46th, and Morgan Gibbs-White in the 78th. 3-0, Nottingham Forest at Liverpool. Now, who would have thought that? Now, fans think because you splash this huge money for Alexander Isak and Ekitike that it is going to guarantee you success. And I think that's what a lot of fans go to pretty quickly. Not all. And we say, wow, this is amazing. And we discount a little bit the fact that you still have to integrate players. In the case of Ekitike, he's coming to a different league that he's never played in. He's coming from the Bundesliga. And you still got to integrate these players into a team. It's not easy. And frankly, they're struggling. Arne Slot, I think, is in crisis here. 6 losses for Liverpool. Yeah, is he going to make it? I don't know. It could be a casualty. 2 more than the entirety of last year. So think about that. 6 losses this year for Liverpool. That's 2 more than all of last year. They only had 4 last year. Let's go to the North London Derby, AJ. And this is Arsenal 4-1 over Spurs. They keep their number one spot in the league. Let's go to minute 36 up to this point. We're at 0-0, and it's Trossard, the Belgian, who produces the first goal. Okay. Trossard would get it in the 36th. Then we got a hat trick in this one. Eberiche Eze is the first player to score a hat trick in a North London derby ever. 41-46-76 for him. And Richarlison scored an amazing goal for Spurs, which nobody's really talking about because they got hammered 4-1. But he scored a goal from way out, and he lobbed the Arsenal goalkeeper. Good to go, AJ? Okay, no worries. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 57% possession for Arsenal, 17-3 in shots, 8-2 on goal. Arsenal has a 6-point lead now over number 2 Chelsea. Manchester City is number 3 after a loss to Newcastle. Aston Villa and the Villains in 4th. We got a supporters group here in Houston that hangs out at Hugh O'Connor's pub. Crystal Palace is 5th. By the way, Manchester United today, if they had gotten a win today, which they lost 1-0 to Everton, they would have jumped in a tie for 4th place. So, pretty incredible opportunity missed here today by Manchester United. Okay, let's move on here. I want to go back to, Cristiano Ronaldo scored an incredible bicycle kick. He's, 40, 41 years old? It's a moment, for sure. It's something he's capable. He's an athlete. Let's go to Saudi Arabia and listen to the bicycle kick hit from Cristiano Ronaldo.
Une des dernières de ce match. Angelo.
qui va le servir. Ali Al Hassan au deuxième poteau, il y a Cristiano. Nawaf pour Cristiano, peut-être le 6. Oh, quel but de Cristiano Ronaldo pour la dernière dans ce match. Le 6 extraordinaire pour le 954e but. Exceptionnel.
713-780-3776 is the number, so you get a bicycle kick from Ronaldo, and you get a, what is he now, 37 or 38-year-old Lionel Messi, who produces a goal and three assists. We're going to listen to one of those in a minute. But right now, at the phone line, 713-780-3776. Sean, what do you have?
How's it going, Glenn?
Good, Sean. How are you?
Good, yeah. So, like, The Premier League. I know Man United. They throughout their modern era, they've had a lot of downs, as many as I can count. But like, this has got to be the most embarrassing loss I've ever seen. You went down to wait. You were at home against Everton, who are basically like bottom of the barrel. They get a man sent off for basically fighting with his own teammates, yet they still come out with a 1-0 win. Like, I don't know how more bad it can be for the Red Devils.
Well, I think it was, well, first of all, it is a huge missed opportunity, because it could have went to fourth in the table, right? And I think everybody's been feeling pretty good about the recent results under Amorim. Manchester United is trying to recover from systemic bad decisions as a club, whether it's player acquisitions, whether it's finances, whether it's hires of coaches. They are trying to still get out of that hole, and it's not easy. As legendary of a club that it is not amongst the best in the Premier League now. The brand is still massive. They could come to America next summer and there'd be 70,000 people at the game. No question about it. I actually think, and this will be a different take, Sean, I actually think the fact that Everton had a guy sent off really defined the way they were going to play against United and make it difficult for them to break them down. And I think that's kind of what happened today. Yeah, the times are kind of dark. This is not a good result for them at all. Anything else?
No. And also, one more thing. With all the signings, I think, Isak, Wirtz, they'll get better. It just depends on, getting time to develop, but right now it's not a good look. I mean, just signing a bunch of players isn't gonna, like you said, signing a lot of players for huge sums of money isn't going to guarantee you success.
No, it never does. I mean, we've seen those examples in a lot of sports where people shell out all the cash. You still got to put a team together. And that's why when I hear people say, they've spent so much on their roster, that can sometimes be even more difficult, because now you're dealing with massive egos and everything else. Sean, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. 713-780-3776 is where you call in here tonight. Now, a little bit more on that game. Everton wins 1-0. Kieran Dewsbury-Hall had the lone goal in the 29th minute, curled one into the upper corner. So what was bizarre was that goal came off after a 13-minute sending off. And Sean, the caller, mentioned that. So this was a game that had a guy, Idrissa Gueye, who people know, slaps his own teammate, and then the referee goes and sends him off for slapping and striking his own teammate. That's not something you see every day. And then, because they're down to 10 men, Everton's tactics are defined clear. The red card to Gueye is because of violent contact, violent conduct against his own teammate. I mean, boy, you got to be a manager to sort that out now. And, of course, they have Jordan Pickford, the England international in goal. He made some big saves. Everton, first Premier League win at Old Trafford since 2013. And guess who gets it? David Moyes of Everton, who was the succession manager for United after Alex Ferguson. Wins a big statement for them. Oh, Moyes defended Gueye, who got sent off, saying he likes his players fighting when things go wrong. Yeah, I'm not sure you like them fighting amongst each other to the point where you have somebody sent off. He's just trying to make sure that he's keeping things good. Okay, this is Peter Tosh. Walk and Don't Look Back. Tonight, the show, though, we're going to dedicate a lot of our music, especially in the second hour, to the legendary Jimmy Cliff, the reggae man that passed away. Cactus Music. You don't have the greatest hits or some of Jimmy Cliff in your vinyl collection or CD. Or better yet, just download it too. But Jimmy Cliff was a legend in really spreading the gospel of reggae, much like Bob Marley and this man, Peter Tosh. I do want to remind you, Slip Sliders, get down to Slip Sliders Museum District. You go down there, Shrimp Shack. You got all the beef, all the chicken. You got vegetarian options. They got a great selection of sliders down there. These are the best in Sliders, I can tell you that. It's Slip Sliders, down on Bins, Museum District. If you're a company that's in the medical center or in and around that area, this is where you go in and you get 40 or 50 of these and you bring them back to your staff. They're made to order, freshest ingredients, Slip Sliders. Let's take a break here. LamontBrands.com. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see the Lamont Brands Soccer Matters hats. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More to go.
Listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Better yet, here's AC/DC. It's like a heartbeat. So AJ, I had a funny thing happen. I'm walking my dog in Memorial Park. You can keep the AC/DC going. It probably goes good with this song or with this story. And as I cross a path near the pond, there's a big, thick snake. And I posted it on Instagram. Just a beautiful creature. Pulled my dog. My dog just sat there and watched it go across. Had a little lump in the middle of it, which, you know, probably ate something, a mouse or something. Slithers off into the bushes. One lady walked by, I'm waving to her to kind of move to the side because she's looking at her phone, and I don't know if this is a cottonmouth. I don't know if it's a poisonous snake or not. So I post it, and a lot of people, oh, that's a cottonmouth. That's a cottonmouth. Then we got, no, that's a non-venomous snake. And then you get the one guy who has to be the expert. And he's like, leave it alone. And, you know, it's a little aggressive. And I'm like, yeah, like I'm going to go pick it up. Like, I respect nature. I don't need you telling me to respect nature. I was just observing. And it's one of the beauties of taking a walk in the woods, which I was taught by my Marine father. I used to take these long walks with him in frigid conditions. And it was partially his way of having peace and quiet due to PTS. But, so I love the outdoors and nature and all that. But, you know, you get the one guy who's just like, you know, I'm like, you know, are you crocodile, the croc hunter? I mean, come on. Jeez, we're not all stupid. All right, enough of that. That was a story. 713-780-3776 is the number. Let's do a little Spanish league here. Real Madrid, top of the Spanish table, although they take on Elche, and this ends in a 2-2 draw. Let's go to Elche's two goals tonight. Alex Fabis for the first one. All right, so Fabis, here we go.
Silva, Fabas, Valera, Fabas again!
Goal.
Has put Elche ahead, and that was a sensational move. It really was brilliant from Elche. They lead Real Madrid.
Great combination play on that, and then they get a second. This one would come from Alvaro Rodriguez, and I'm going to tell you why these two goals are important for Elche.
Alvaro Rodriguez. Is he going to score against his old club? Yes, he is! Yes, he is! What about this? Can you believe it? Can you believe that?
All right, Madristas out there. 2-2 draw. Both those players, Fabas and Rodriguez, both had played for Real Madrid. So that's a pretty big deal, going back to their stadium and scoring two goals. Then we had the reopening of the Nou Camp, and took only, I think, the fourth minute, and Robert Lewandowski would score the opening goal for Barcelona.
Lewandowski here. Athletic didn't clear their lines, and Robert Lewandowski opens the scoring. Athletic Club could have cleared. They didn't, and they gave Robert Lewandowski half a chance.
Then they would get a second, Barcelona.
Just the one goal so far. Again, Lamine Yamal. Superb control from Ferran Torres. Oh, scrambled it. Doesn't matter how you score, as long as you score. Right on the brink of halftime, the creation of Lamine Yamal.
Yamal had two assists. Fermín López would score to make it 3-0.
Fermín to Garcia. The man that started it and finished it. Reward for the workaholic, Martin Fermín López.
All right, so let's talk a little about a really interesting topic here. About all the professional leagues in the country and in the world. And where young players are getting most of the opportunity. I think this data is going to be pretty interesting for people. So this is under 21 players that are in 50 of the top divisions in domestic leagues worldwide. And this is from January 1st, 2025 to November 19th, 2025. Okay. So this is some interesting data. Where would you think the top opportunity is? It is the A-League in Australia. The second is the Super League in Serbia. This is opportunity for young players. The third is the Danish Superliga. The fourth is the first division in Hungary. The fifth is Uruguay and their top division. Now you're sitting there going, hey, wait a minute. What about MLS and what about League MX? Stick with me. So that's five. Six is Slovenia. Seventh is the Norwegian first division. Eight is the Finnish first division. Ninth is Costa Rica. 10th is the Swedish Allsvenskan. That's their first division. 10th is the Dutch Eredivisie in the Netherlands. So top 10, we got no MLS or Liga MX yet. 11 is the first division in Colombia. 12 is the first division in Venezuela. Now, a lot of this is also opportunity because of budget, right? Don't have to pay younger players as much. They want opportunity. So now we're down to 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13. Now our 14th entry, still no Liga MX or MLS, is Israel. 15th is Argentina. 16th, the Czech Republic. 17, France. 18, Paraguay. 19, Poland. 20, Croatia. Again, opportunity for young players. Ukraine comes after that. And MLS and Liga MX are below all those leagues. And that's a constant complaint. And I think there is a bit of a worry that younger American players need more opportunity in Major League Soccer. Younger Mexican players need more opportunity in Liga MX. Any thoughts on that? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Of course, agents come into a lot of this, certainly in Liga MX. And they're trying to cut deals. They're trying to bring in players from South America. It's all about a balance. I don't think there's any question to that. All right, some people in the news here. Let's start off with 40,000 fans came out for the Liga MX women's final. Now, check this out. This was Tigres and Club America. So you got two massive brands, two big, big brands. Tigres win it 4-3 on aggregate. So the first game, and I believe all three goals were scored in the first half. Club America comes out and has a 3-0 lead at halftime, right? Tigres comes back and in the first leg equalizes 3-3. So now we go back to Tigres for the final match. And lo and behold, who gets the game-winning goal? Had 16 goals this year. Did not have that output here for the Houston Dash. Diana Ordóñez scores the game winner in front of 40,000 people. I mean, this was dramatic. This was emotional. I mean, I was watching some of the highlights of this, and I'm saying, I wish I was at that game. The play was excellent. The competition, excellent. And here's Diana Ordóñez's game winner.
Aprovecha.
Busca Jennifer, que no se ha metido tanto. Y bueno, que hablando de goles, uy, que está quedando corto. Buena oportunidad para Ordóñez. Sale, paño, gol.
Un error garrafal de la defensa americanista y cuando tomó vuelo no había duda.
Americanista Diana Ordóñez. So let me tell you what happened with, and this is going to lead into our next story, and then we're going to probably have to hit up on a break here, and we got Paul Dolan coming, but I'll make this quick. So the Dash make the playoffs a couple of years back under an interim coach named Juan Carlos Amoros. Juan Carlos Amoros was incredibly passionate. He used to call me and say, why aren't you calling our game? And I'm like, Juan, it doesn't work like that. The leagues assign people. It depends on if the club wants to televise it or what. But he was going to be willing to get out in the community and make women's soccer bigger here. They got 15 or 16,000 at a playoff game. Biggest crowd ever for the Dash. Players seemed to like him. He brought in Ebony Salmon, who was their leading goal scorer with 11 or 12. Very happy striker. And then we get all these personnel changes at the Dash and the Dynamo, president and GM, and he doesn't come back. And the easy thing to have done would have been just to say, let him be the general manager and coach for 1 year until you transition somebody else in. He knows what he's doing. He's got buy-in. He's got a hot center forward. And lo and behold, others come in and he does not return. And what happens is your happy center forward now doesn't have the coach who brought him here. Your happy center forward now is going to be told to play on the right side of a three set up front because they're bringing in Diana Ordonez from North Carolina. And this is nothing against her, but she's a target player. You saw her a couple seasons. They tried to play her out wide. It's not where she belongs. She belongs in the middle. That's how she scored this goal in this game. She was in the middle. Bad back pass, she jumped on it, and she won it for Tigres. And she had 16 goals. So Juan Carlos Amoros, over the weekend, well, he leaves the Dash. He promptly wins the title with Gotham FC the very next year. This weekend, just won another NWSL title. They were the 8th seed. They navigated the playoffs, and they beat the Washington Spirit in the final. They also knocked off Kansas City. So Amoros is already, with two titles, one of the greatest coaches in the history of the NWSL. And this is why you have to have people with soccer knowledge around teams. And I don't think that's happening anymore. I think it's there's this push away from people who know it to more of the data-driven people and whatever. Big mistake. Could have had a bunch of great years here already with him. You might be drawing 5,000 to 10,000 people at the games now if you kept him. But the good news is Fabrice Gautrat has got it moving in the right direction, it seems, right now. The Dash didn't make the playoffs, but he's going to have to figure out the hardest thing, and that's scoring goals. Better defensive team, more organized, better team shape. It's all there. But you got to score goals to win. And to not make the playoffs in both MLS or NWSL, it's a bad season. Got to draw the line somewhere. You can't pretend. It's a bad season. You miss gates. You miss games. I mean, look at these games we just saw with Vancouver and LAFC. Incredible. New York City FC. I mean, what a game with Philadelphia. What a game between Inter Miami and FC Cincinnati. Goal and three assists for Messi. Silvete, a 19-year-old Argentine shining. These have been great MLS games. And tonight you got San Diego and Minnesota. And you hear me bag on a lack of consequence. And there are too many games with a lack of consequence. And they don't meet the standard and the quality of these games we're seeing right now. The intensity, because they're single elimination. All right, we'll take a break here. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get out there. Great beer and whiskey offerings, great food. Go out there, see our good friends out there. Dave, Goose, it's Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Break.
Listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. The Vancouver Whitecaps. I mean, this was drama at its best. Over 50,000 people at BC Place. See them win in penalties dramatically. Had a 2-0 lead. It got drawn level at 2-2 off a San free kick. I mean, this had it all. Sending offs, digging deep down, getting to penalties, winning in penalties. As much as we talk about a lack of consequence for a lot of months of Major League Soccer, these playoffs, These first three in single elimination have been exceptional. All right, we bring in a great commentator, an analyst, former goalkeeper for Canada, played over 50 times. He's been on the show many times before. A true gentleman of the game as well. He's Paul Dolan and joins us now. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Glenn. You like the hard rock music coming in?
We got a little bit of everything tonight. Jimmy Cliff passed away, so we're rolling a little reggae. But right. Yeah, I like a hard rock. Right. We like it. We like rock and roll. Yeah, absolutely. Do you?
I'm a basic pop music guy.
Okay.
Middle of the road stuff. Yeah.
So,
I'll tell you what, they were singing Mr. Brightside at the end of the game. Against LAFC, the Vancouver Whitecaps were, and the fans. It was incredible, Glenn. I'll tell you what. I've been a Vancouver Whitecaps supporter since I was a kid, back to 1975 at Old Empire Stadium in the NASL days, and then was fortunate to be drafted by the club in '83, just before they folded, and then, of course, played with the Vancouver team in the Canadian Soccer League and have been commentating either with the Whitecaps or with MLS on Apple TV since 2011 when they came into MLS. And I have never seen the building jumping like that, certainly not BC Place. And even though earlier this year they played against Miami in the CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinal in front of 55,000 and Lionel Messi and beat them, the adversity that the team had to overcome against LAFC, going down to what ended up being nine men with an injured player who couldn't be subbed after the sending off of Tristan Blackman. I think that's what put the drama over the edge. And then Denny Belanga and his mates somehow hit the post three times in a five-second span. It was absolutely incredible. And one for the ages that has Whitecap fans, I think, wanting to come back for a sold-out game. It would be, I imagine, if somehow San Diego loses on Monday night tonight against against Minnesota.
Yeah,
but we'll see. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Minnesota's going to give them a difficult time, I think. Those two teams kind of play into each other because Minnesota can hit you in transition. They got all those crazy long throw-ins and free kicks, and that should be interesting. But, Paul, I wanted to tell you, somebody mentioned to me, I'm trying to remember who it was, but they said to me, they have never been to an MLS game that was that loud.
It was off the charts. And even Sebastian Berhalter on Apple TV in the post game was watching the rehash of the penalties being taken and the goal when he scored. He made note of it. He goes, wow, that was so loud. It was alarming. I think everyone had their phones out, too, trying to take photos to kind of take it all in. But you know, I'm not a big fan of having a covered stadium on turf. I'll be honest right out of the gates. But I love what you've got in Houston. Beautiful, mainly covered for the fans, grass pitch, fully surrounded, soccer-specific stadium. There's nothing like it. But when you get 55,000 in a stadium that is covered, the noise does pop off. And I guess that's the reason Real Madrid chooses to play with the cover on, even though they can open up their stadium. But that, to me, is how invested the group was. It wasn't just you got your season ticket holders, and a typical Whitecap crowd this season was probably 22,000, 23,000. When Mueller came, it was 26. They sold out the lower bowl there. But when you get that many fans in there who seem to be invested in the game, not just bystanders who are jumping on the party bandwagon, it really made for a loud environment.
He's Paul Dolan, former Canadian national team goalkeeper. But here's the other great thing about Mueller, and I'm going to take you into him in a second, but he's bringing new people to these games. These are unique fans. Unique meaning maybe they've never sampled the Whitecaps before, right? And they are now, and they're like living in the best of times. I have been just totally amazed at, and I knew this could happen. I didn't know it could happen to this extent because I find him a very funny guy, Thomas Mueller, but he's one of the greatest players in World Cup history. Just take us into not only on the field, but what this guy has done off the field to elevate the Vancouver Whitecaps.
I have been absolutely blown away for everything that you just mentioned there, how he's embraced the city. And vis-a-vis then, the city has embraced him because he is so invested. He was at the Vancouver Rise women's soccer game. He's been at multiple Canuck games. He was at the BC Lions. He is in the city. He loves the city. He chose the city. He chose Vancouver. Of course, he could have gone anywhere in MLS. Who wouldn't take, as you say, one of the best players to have ever played the game? But what he is doing off the field, it's almost more remarkable than what he's done on it. And that's a guy who scored almost a goal a game since he has played for the Whitecaps since coming over in the summer. The teammates love him. He's lifted a very, very good team this year in the Whitecaps, and a team that had a lot of camaraderie, and a team that's played for each other as well. I don't think any other team has faced as much adversity in terms of injuries and players missing games and a full schedule because of how far they went in the CONCACAF Champions Cup as the Whitecaps. But then to have him come and put that over the edge, over the top, you could not have picked, handpicked a better person to represent what you're trying to accomplish, especially now for a team that had gone up for sale early in the year, and right away the worries of, will they even be around in Vancouver? You can't say that he has single-handedly turned all that thought around based on one game where it's a full house. But there is a vibe in the city, and all of a sudden you see the owners saying, okay, well, hang on a second, maybe we can get some investment elsewhere to keep this thing and us involved in this and build a soccer-specific stadium. But everything that he's done has been, well, it's been way more than talked to Bob Leonarduzzi, the longtime CEO of the club as well. And he can't believe, I just had a chat with him the other day, he can't believe what type of a transformation has gone through in this city almost single-handedly because of what he's done to put it over the top.
Can I ask you something, Paul, about him? Because, first of all, he's a great personality. I followed him at Bayern Munich. He does really funny things. He's a funny, fun-loving, great personality. But I want to ask you if Vancouver got what's the word I'm looking for? They just got, like, almost in a trance that you're happy to be at this level and it's never going to go bigger. I mean, he comes in and says right away, you know, I want Vancouver to be winners. You know, he's setting the bar high. And it seemed like there was just the club might have been in a little bit of a trance when it came to expectations and the fan base. And we're okay with it the way it is. I feel that here in Houston, right? Sometimes.
Yeah.
That our bar is low, that we're happy with a half empty stadium or half full stadium, depending on how you look at it. Did he just kind of blow that out of the water and just kind of like shake it all up in a way that people are waking up, right?
I think so. It's hindsight to say it, but I've always felt, maybe because I was a product of the North American Soccer League that brought in players that you knew about, I love the DP format. I think it's important that you not only bring in designated players that can do the business on the field, obviously, and might be young players that others haven't heard about but are exceptional talents, but those recognized names that aren't over the hill, that can still contribute, that can do more than just contribute. But you're absolutely right. Thomas Muller has taken this whole thing, I'm talking about the team, the franchise, the city, to a different level. And I don't want to say, well, I told you so, because that is something I've been a big proponent of. And it's easy for me to say that when he'll probably be on $7.5 million next year. And does that correlate with an increase in attendance that justifies that? Because there are clubs probably that just want to go in neutral and kind of just skim along. I mean, I will say this about Houston bringing in Hector Herrera. I really thought that would be the type of a player that would take them into that next sphere. What is your opinion on why that didn't happen in a place like Houston?
Yeah, I don't think he was marketed. 2023, he was remarkable. I thought it was one of the best seasons, maybe the best any individual player's ever had on the Houston Dynamo. I say that respectively to all the greats because he was carrying a team. But that's for another discussion because we're up on a hard break. So we're going to find out if it's San Diego or Minnesota tonight, Paul. And if you're available, we'll get you back on eventually after Vancouver finds out who they're playing and they get through that game. But I think there's a lot more I'd love to talk to you about with everything going on in Vancouver. I just find it fascinating. It's fascinating.
Yeah, happy to do it. Anytime, Glenn. Great speaking to you again.
Yeah, you too, Paul. You're the man. Thanks for coming on tonight. That's Paul Dolan, former Canadian national team goalkeeper. He's been around Vancouver. You can imagine how he felt with all the resurgence here. By the way, what about Muller on the field? I mean, he's working guys. He's lifting Sebastian Berhalter. These two guys look like they're tied at the hip. I mean, everything you want out of a DP. You want a DP that's going to affect your gait, who's going to do it off the field as well as on. If I'm paying somebody that kind of money, I want everything. I don't want part. All right, take a break. We're going to come back. I got Victor Ariza coming up. We're going to talk to a former Houston Hurricane from the 70s who played in the Astrodome. Much more to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid, gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, if that doesn't get you, World Cup 2026. 199 days away. And right here in Houston, our first game will be on June 14th, the group stage, Max. Going to find out who the teams are in the draw December 5th. December 1st, we are at Senate Avenue Brewing. December 1st. So get out there for that one. We have a great time out there at Senate Avenue Brewing. We go out there with Andrew Mitchum. We drink incredible craft beer there if you're a craft beer person. It's 16,000 Dillard. It's right off of 290 if you're on your way out. Award-winning craft beer. They show soccer matches there. You wear a jersey that night on December 1st. First beer is going to be free. Patio's amazing. They've got all kinds of different beers. A Shot in the Dark, which is a bourbon barrel stout. Hassel Light, which is a light blonde. Senator IPA. You got the Mayor Murky. The DDH Imperial Hazy IPA. The House of Lords. Excellent. They got great food there, great tacos, street tacos, shrimp, fish. I like on Tuesdays the Bulogi Bowl. I love that. That's a good power bowl there. But that's Senate Avenue Brewing, December 1st. We're going to be out there live. We'll have a lot of guests out there. Going to be a lot of fun. And then December 5th, we've got the Draw Show right here on ESPN 97.5. That's pretty groundbreaking. How many people are going to do a 3 or 4 hour show on the Draw on radio in primetime? We're going to be down at East River 9. I mean, let's give ourselves a pat on the back, Houston, a little bit, huh? East River 9, come out there. If you come down there wearing a soccer jersey, I'm going to hook you up with a Soccer Matters t-shirt. By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, I just put on one of these great Lamont Brands hats. I have an all blue one here, all navy, which is cool. But I put the one on that's got, it's a trucker hat. And part of it is orange, so that's kind of for Dynamo fans or the Netherlands. So there you go. Okay, let's get into something different here. And our next guest is a great personal friend of mine. His name is Charlie Kadupski. He's also a former professional soccer player. And to make a Houston tie here, he played on the Houston Hurricane in the NASL in the Astrodome. And Charlie joins us now. Charlie, how are you?
I'm great, Glenn. How are you, buddy?
Good to have you on. I promise you'll be off by the time San Diego and Minnesota play in the playoff game tonight, so you'll have plenty of time. So, first of all, Charlie created something pretty interesting, a company called The Sports Source. And, you know, showcases are pretty commonplace now, but his showcase at the time was very much cutting edge. It was ahead of the game. It was in 1989. It was a way to bring in college coaches, bring in teams, and then the teams would perform in front of college coaches, and college coaches could see a lot of players in one place at one time. This original showcase is still going on. Charlie, just some comments about where the showcase started, where it is today.
You know, the showcase started, landing in this area. I came in, I got traded, so I landed here to play. And then I went back to Los Angeles, and then, life goes on. The career was coming to an end after a dozen years, and I had an opportunity to come back here and work in soccer and go for licensing and to become, I started with no license because I was a pro player. I was allowed to move to the B license and get an A license. And at the time, the director of coaching is a famous godfather, if you would, Walt Chisowitz. And Walt Chisowitz was also the national team coach. And they were interested in having, the Dallas players that, we don't see enough of the middle of the country players. So I came back and I started working here in a club and built it with another professional player, Hassan Nazari. He played in the 78 World Cup for Iran. And together we built it. The kids would ask, the parents would ask, how did you go to college? And I was one of those people that thought everybody was a recruited athlete, only to find out that less than 2% of all athletes are actively recruited in from archery to water polo. So the people needed an event. So I created an event. I went to probably one of your old coaches in New Jersey, Manfred Schellscheidt, who's a legend. He's in his 80s now. And he had one of the most successful clubs in New Jersey, and he was also a college coach. So then there was Bob Gansler, who was also a former national team player and coach and MLS. And so I continued to pick off Ziggy Schmidt being in Los Angeles, and we started with 16 director of coaches to bring their teams in. And we started with about 24 teams to begin with, and it was all boys. And that's, because of my past playing pedigree and then going through the coaching licenses, you're surrounded by people like-minded that want to, play competition in other parts of the country. And so that was the start of it. And then it grew from there. And we've had just, a really good group of kids that have come through and that have benefited from playing at the showcase.
How is it different from the times when I would bring my teams, the Hurricane Soccer Club, up to Dallas for that? Because it was the place to go. I mean, I wanted to promise that I could get my players in front of coaches. You didn't have the traveling like you do now. I mean, there are people traveling for games, flying to Oklahoma, taking hotels, which is pretty absurd to me, to be honest with you. But it's what is happening because of the spider web of all these different organizations and different leagues. But for us, it was pretty normal. Showcase, Tampa Sun Bowl, and then I started trying to take our teams across the border to Mexico to play teams in Monterey. But how is it different now as opposed to when you started it?
Well, back then we had, we were part of the state association, so the hierarchy went the U.S. Soccer Federation, then the U.S. Youth Soccer Federation. And then they had their competition, and then there were ways in which other, we had the Dallas Cup that was around that time where it was bringing international teams to play against local teams and other teams that wanted to participate. Now, that was the core across the United States. And since that point, 1990, fast forward, you have in 2025, you have 25 different leagues that go on.
Incredible.
And those leagues sometimes request that if you want to play in their league, then you can't play elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it's a diluted product now. It's diluted. Thank God that we still have association with people that, you know, like your old club, it was Houston Hurricane Youth Soccer Club, but now it's Albion Hurricane. They've been supportive of our group ever since you brought teams up, and that's 20 years plus years ago.
Well, I remember when you were building the whole thing and you were coming to Houston and you had this incredible book of information from the Sports Source Publishing, and then you took it from publishing, you took it all the way into the digital age. We're talking to Charlie Kadupski, who's done a lot during his playing career and now post. He was a member of the Houston Hurricane that played in the Astrodome, and before the interview's over, we're going to ask you a little bit about that. But when is the showcase coming up now, Charlie?
It starts December 5th, and it runs through the 7th.
Wow, that's an amazing...
It's not this weekend.
It's the following weekend.
Next weekend.
What a day to start it, though, December 5th, because that's the draw for the World Cup 2026. That's incredible.
Yeah, and it's always the first weekend after Thanksgiving. Because, you know, and I know, being a coach, you know, you want to be home with family and friends for the holidays.
Yep.
And youth soccer, you know, morphed into was you worked on the weekends, you know, second shift, worked on the weekends, and then you worked on every holiday. And so people got kind of tired of that. Although this weekend up here in Dallas, we have three different events over Thanksgiving weekend. We have three different events going on.
Nice. By the way, let me just get your website out to people. It's tose.us. tose.us. If you go there, there's a really cool thing here that shows you the connection to athletes and, you know, big names that came through, coaches and players that came through. Charlie, tell us about playing in the Astrodome with the Houston Hurricane real quick.
Well, at the time, there was, what was the baseball player's name? Richards?
J.R. Richards.
T.R. Richards. Yes.
J.R. Richards, and then, the pitcher.
J.R. Richards. So I was there the summer that he took ill, or he had a stroke or something.
Right.
And then we used to go to practice, and, you know, for Houston, you know, there were 12,000 people, 15,000 people that would come to every game. Unfortunately, it wasn't the best environment as what they've created today. With the stadium and more looking like a soccer stadium. And then I remember watching the Houston Oilers play, and I think the quarterback at that time, Bum Phillips was the coach, and Danny Pastorini.
Dante Pastorini, sure. He still lives in Houston, Dante.
Yeah, and Earl Campbell. And so I remember it was an absolute joy, but also the weather outside was really hot. In 1980, that was the year that I came down, 79-80, and it was the hottest summer ever in the state of Texas, and I got traded from San Jose. So it was a bit of a shock. It was like, you know, it could be 8:30 at night, 9 o'clock at night. It was 100 degrees.
Anybody but who the experience, gets moved to Houston, it is a shock.
No, yeah.
In modern times and ancient times, doesn't matter.
And then, you know, there were some, like, Roland Sickinger was a goalkeeper.
Yeah, Roland's still in the community coaching. These are all incredible stories about, you know, our soccer community and the people that are down here. And people like yourself have gone on to do amazing things, and we're trying to tell these stories. And that's why it's important for me to make sure that people on the air know that you played for the Houston Hurricane. You spent time down here. You had connection. You brought your youth clubs down here from the Storm for many, many years. And you've had this showcase since 1989, which is pretty remarkable, Charlie, when you think about it. Real quick, you got 30 seconds. What's the buzz around the World Cup in Dallas?
You know, it's on every morning. The local station that's going to be covering it, Fox, every morning they have a little blip of things going on.
What about in the community, though? What about the weaving into the people in the community? The people are down at the roots level. Are they getting the connection?
There's a buzz. I would say there's a buzz.
Good.
And it's in a positive way, because they've been able to bring in people that are actually involved in the community. And I think that will be successful for them.
Excellent. Charlie, thank you so much. It's the original showcase. He's been doing it for years. He's a publisher, ex-professional soccer player. He's got a great company called The Sports Source. It is TOSE.US for information. All right, Charlie, thanks a lot for coming on tonight. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Glenn.
All right, he's the man, Charlie Gadupski. Great stuff there. San Diego, Minnesota coming up at 8. Wilfred Nancy to join Celtic as a head coach from the Columbus Crew. That's the word that's on the street. Could be there as soon as next week. From the Columbus Crew to Celtic. You talk about a rise in coaching. It's Wilfred Nancy. This is Jimmy Cliff. You can do it if you try. Rest in peace, Jimmy Cliff. Cactus Music. In a day, opposition will come your way. But the hotter the battle you see, it's the sweeter the victory now. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try. Try and try.
Listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, big shout out here to Jimmy Cliff, passed away. This is another one. His voice just, it's like nectar from the gods. It's just a beautiful voice. But helped to grow reggae worldwide. So we're playing his music here in this second hour to honor his contributions. I want to remind you about a couple of things. December 1st, we're live out at Senate Avenue Brewing, Jersey Village. It's our live show. We'll have guests out there for that one. December 5th, we have the Draw Show right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll have a number of different guests joining us that day as we find out who is going to play in Houston and how the bracketing is going to fill out and everything else. And remember, we have 7 games in Houston. 5 group stage matches. Then we have 2 single elimination matches, round of 32 and round of 32. And then July 4th, another elimination game. So it's pretty, I think that's a round of 16 game. So pretty incredible. First World Cup with 48 teams, expanded from 32. 12 groups, 4 teams. Top 2 advance, that's 24 there. And then the 8 best third place teams, that's 32. And you still will have in March some playoffs going on. So the whole thing won't be filled out, but 42 of the 48 teams will. All right. Big shout out to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for being our presenting sponsors and really helping to be the platform for getting this long-term soccer talk on the radio. So a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. All right, right now, CONCACAF writer Victor Ariza, who's also in years past, have been a big contributor to this show. Victor joins us now. Hi, Victor.
Hey, Glenn. Always glad to be on.
All right. I know you may not know, but I know Sean's looking at me. I'm doing the studio radio host baseball hat thing with my headset on. I'm not normally a baseball hat guy, except in the sun. But
shameless self-promotion?
Yes,
that's shame. That's the Glenn Davis signature.
Yeah. That's because we don't like doing too much of this, but we have to. And by the way, the hat I'm wearing is Lamont Brands. All your printing needs, LamontBrands.com. It's a beautiful hat. I'm kind of showing it off, so I'll be giving some of these away, and we move a few of these. All right, I want to start it off. 40,000 people for the Liga MX Women's Final. It's a comeback from Tigres. They're crowned champions. They win 1-0. Amazing crowd down in Monterrey. And lo and behold, the game-winning goal, and I was really happy for her because she had a lot of injury problems and was kind of played out of position here in Houston for a large portion of her time here. Diana Ordonez getting the game-winning goal. I mean, that's probably the most significant moment in her soccer career.
Yeah, without a doubt, the MVP of the final and one of a few former Dash players on that team with Maria Sanchez and Barbara Olivieri, who's on loan before she heads up to Boston. But, you know, Tigres has done this a couple of times in a few finals, filling up that stadium. And I think it's the response from the fans that when you treat women's soccer professionally, when you give it that importance, and look, Tigres Femenil in Mexico is, you know, in all meaning a super team, right? They got a bunch of good players on there. Now they were in a rebuild a little bit because they lost one of the most important players, Ovalle, to the NWSL, but here they are now again extending their record to 7 Liga MX Feminine titles. So again, not that surprising, right, considering what they've done over the years, but always a pleasant view to see 40,000 for any occasion, but certainly for this final.
Boy, and they were engaged. And obviously, we know how big the brand Tigres is, so that's a natural come over for people to experience the women's game and realize how good the players are. So that's a beautiful thing. Then we go to Gotham, NWSL, 8th seed. They win the title over the Washington Spirit, Rose Lavelle. And I mentioned it earlier in the show. It's the former Dash coach, Juan Carlos Amoros. Two titles now in the NWSL, plus an international tournament title as well. So I call him the one that got away, but he also has probably written himself into NWSL lore as one of the best coaches ever.
Yeah, well, you and me both. I'll jump on that list with you because I think certainly what he did here in Houston was remarkable at the time. And, you know, it's hard to foresee him going on to maybe have that immediate success. But I think we saw the makings of what could be a potential NWSL winning coach. And look, he's done it in 3 years. Gotham's the first CONCACAF W Champions Cup winners as well. They're going to head over to the FIFA International Tournament, both of them, the Club World Cup and the FIFA Women's Champions Cup. So that's going to be another way to, you know, across the world, lift the name of the league and also their team. I'm happy for him because I got to see him here in Houston. You know, kind of got to witness some of his character and the way he just goes about coaching a team. A little jealous, to be honest, because I wish we would have had that in Houston. But, you know, good for Gotham. And I know there's a lot to be made here, right? Or at least that's what the NWSL media rounds about. You know, oh, they're an 8th seed, and did they get enough respect? Well, you know, they also handled that international scheduling, and that's probably why they finished as the 8th seed. But kind of like MLS, the regular season doesn't really matter as long as you get into the playoffs, right?
Well, and that's the perfect segue into MLS playoffs. We're talking to Victor Ariza of CONCACAF. You know, you've heard me repeatedly on this show, I you know, talk about lack of consequence in MLS, but there's consequence now, and it's led to amazing games. And I'm just saying to myself, number one, I want more of this for Houston, but I want more of this overall in the league during the regular season, where we get some of these really highly passionate matches to the extent that we're getting now in these single elimination playoffs. And I would assume it's going to be good in San Diego tonight for that game against Minnesota. But we've seen some really, really good single elimination playoff matches now after MLS was kind of out of sight, out of mind in the international window.
Yeah, certainly that Vancouver LAFC game, that was off the rails. That was just a tremendous night for MLS and obviously for Vancouver, for what's been building there with Tomas Muller coming over. And then Messi just going off, right? Which is kind of the big story to follow worldwide for a lot of people that maybe aren't MLS fans, and that's going to be the link that pulls them to the league.
Yeah, by the way, when I was talking to Paul Dolan, who was on, Paul Dolan is an analyst and an ex-professional, was a Canadian national team goalkeeper. I forgot to mention, and I wanted to get to it, but we got to the break so quickly. I wanted to mention Jesper Sorensen, the Danish coach, who has done a remarkable job. He was at Brøndby in the Danish Super League, but, you know, he dealt with a lot of injuries there. He had that team in a good place.
Yeah.
But then to drop a Thomas Muller in there, who comes in, respectful of the league, respectful of his teammates, even though these aren't Bayern Munich players or German national team players, totally respectful, totally into it, both on and off the field. I think this guy's been remarkable. I don't know why we settle for DPs that don't bring us everything. I want everything. I want Gate. I want a guy who's going to be in the community, and I want a guy that's going to do it on the field and is going to make people better.
Yeah, and this was at Vancouver side early in the season. I mean, they went all in on the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They eliminated Inter Miami, right, including some of those injuries you said. They missed Berhalter in the final. They got smoked by Cruz Azul 5-0. But then to be able to turn it around, look, they could have easily had a season like Seattle the year they won it when they got to the final, and Toronto the year they got to the final as well, where it could have been just an emotional hit, right, and they could have maybe suffered in the season. But then I think that also goes to just Muller, what that signing has been. Sun was a similar lift for LAFC. And again, just go to your point. That's what you want out of DP. That's what a DP should be. That kind of difference maker, that kind of game changer that just takes your team to another level.
Yeah, no question about it. He has been so fun to watch. It's going to be really interesting to find out who they're going to play, either San Diego or Minnesota. Quick word here for Little Patagonia, who, by the way, brought us some empanadas here tonight. So I wanted to give them a shout out, Little Patagonia, and AJ's going to munch on them a little bit later. Daspit Law Firm, obviously, our presenting sponsor. Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe, 3 locations in Houston. So Nico Nico's, Slip Sliders, these are places where you can just go in and get a bunch of gyros or a bunch of slip sliders for your business or at lunch or even over the holidays. It's really easy. Nico Nico's has 3 locations, Woodlands, I-10 and the Beltway, also the original on Montrose, and then Slip Sliders is down on Bins down in the Museum District. But if you're in the medical field down there, boy, this is the place to go and basically just get a box full of slip sliders and bring them back to your office and your workspace. And a shout out to Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, our good friend David Fletcher over there, LSSE.net. Okay, Victor, let me get you back to the fact now that Major League Soccer in 2027, we're going to be on a split schedule, just like the rest of the world. I, for one, am happy about it.
I was a little bit conflicted. Because I can understand going to the calendar that the rest of the world uses, right? With all the strong points of aligning with the transfer windows. But I like the way the schedule was. I thought it was our thing. You know, MLS has these quirks, right? That I don't know why we lose them over time. And I think, you know, my biggest gripe with them is, you know, if this is the way it was going, why didn't you just do it sooner, right?
Well, because MLS is always, they've always been late to the party on stuff. That's for sure. That's for sure. But anyway, continue. And I like your take, by the way.
No, I mean, that's it. I mean, just, you know, what does it mean for the history of 30 years past, right? It just kind of, does it just wipe it out? Does it just reset the league? I'll wait and see what it turns into. And I hope it's I hope it's everything all these teams are making it out to be, right? That I hope it really does make them more competitive in the world market. I hope they put up, right, and then go and get some of these bigger players, and it's not just all talk. If it happens to be that way, then I'm all for it. But if it's just kind of changing the calendar for the sake of making a change, right, for the sake of, you know, like some of these teams that they just make a rebrand for the sake of doing a rebrand, then, you know, it's just going to be a gimmick that, yeah, I hope you didn't sacrifice the history of your league for it.
I don't think the history of the league is going to be sacrificed. I think it'll be looked at as evolutionary. But I think the biggest point to me is what you just said, and that is now people have the ability to compete on the open market for players at the same time periods, and we don't have to hear, well, it's really tough to bring in a player in January because you can't take him from a team in the middle of a season. So that can go out the window. And to your point, let's hope if it doesn't make teams more competitive, then I don't think it was a good move. That has to be a big part of the change. Victor, great stuff. Thank you very much for coming on tonight. We're going to take a break and we'll come back for more. Thank you, Victor.
Anytime, Glenn.
All right. Victor Ariza, CONCACAF. He's always got good takes. Yeah, he would have liked to have seen it stay the same in the summer. I'm not a fan of the Mexican League schedule either. I mean, it's like you're giving out championships. It's like you blink your eyes, you can't remember who won the last one. That's for sure. Okay, final segment tonight. I'm going to re-air the interview from Athletic Club Boise, Boise, Idaho. They play in USL 1. USL 1, it costs about $1 million or $2 million to get a team. They have 5,000 season ticket holders, and one of the co-founding members is Steve Patterson, who used to be the GM of the Houston Rockets, has a lot of Houston ties. We're going to re-air that. I think you'll find that pretty interesting what's going on in Boise and a connection to the Basque community of Spain there. All right, so we'll take a break here. As we go to break, again, big shout out to everybody tonight here for tuning in. Wednesday night, Destination 2026. I'll have Peter Vermees on that show, the former Sporting Kansas City manager who played in the World Cup. We'll take a break. It's all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. Get your slip sliders, the best in sliders, down on Bins, and get your best Greek food at Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Let's take a break.
Listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment tonight on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to Senate Avenue Brewing. Get out to Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. We're going to be out there live on December 1st. Andrew Mitchum and Company out there, the best in craft beer. In fact, it is award-winning craft beer. Great patio, great place for watching soccer matches as well. It's Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard in Jersey Village. Final segment of the night tonight. We're going to re-air from last week. Athletic Club Boise is a USL team. Steve Patterson, who used to be the general manager of the Houston Rockets, also Portland Trailblazers, athletic director at UT. He's a co-founder of this new USL One team. He joined me last week.
Chairman of Athletic Club Boise in USL One, but you'll know him from his ties to Houston, Texas. He is Steve Patterson. He joins us now. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great, Glenn. Glad to be here with you.
Excited to have you on. I never knew I'd be talking soccer with you, but this is an awesome thing after being the athletic director at UT and being involved with the Rockets. I never thought I'd be talking soccer with you. What brought you to soccer?
You know, actually, I've had the opportunity to work in most professional sports in North America. My partner, Brad Stith, who's one of the other co-founders, along with a number of local folks from Boise, have been looking at that market for about 15 years. And we thought we were going to put a G League team there, and that didn't happen. And we looked at buying the hockey team and couldn't quite pull that together. We thought we had the baseball team bought, got outbid for that. And finally, the county, which owns the fairgrounds up there and a considerable convention space there, they had a former horse race track that they hadn't been able to bring back for horse racing. And we got to talking to him about turning it into a soccer stadium for a USL team. And over the course of a couple of years of negotiation, Brad and I got the county to agree to work with us on developing what was the horse track into a soccer stadium. And so we're under construction now. And come March, April, we'll be playing soccer there.
Dee Patterson, Athletic Club Boise in the USL. So the city's got a unique tie to the Basque region in Spain, Athletic Bilbao. Take us into that a little bit. I find this incredibly interesting, and it goes back to the 1800s and immigrants.
It really does. It's interesting. A lot of folks historically were shepherds, sheep herders in Spain, came to that part of Idaho in the 1800s, settled there, and it's the largest Basque population outside of the Basque region in Spain in the world. And so very ingrained politically in the community, in the business community. And if you go downtown, it's a great downtown in Boise. There's a whole area with a lot of Basque restaurants and bars, and you'll see them with the Bilbao flags on the days when soccer's on the TV in the bars and people are watching it. And so it's a great little cultural wrinkle in that community in Idaho.
Very interesting. I'm sure there's some great food as well.
Yep.
All right. You kind of told us about the vision to bring it here now. So you get into Boise, you get the franchise, you get things aligned now. Now, you guys are kicking off in March, and I do want to remind listeners, they also will have a women's team in the USL Super League as well, which is just below the NWSL. So what's biggest on your plate now moving towards the March opener?
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time developing the business community. We've had a great response in that marketplace. We set a league record for the number of season ticket deposits. It's over 7,000. We started working through that list. We're at 4,000 or 5,000 season tickets. Full season tickets sold. We haven't even started selling half seasons or mini seasons yet. So great response in the community. We've got a lot of sponsors lined up in terms of our jersey, which will be San Alfonsus, the local hospital group. We just signed a big deal with the Ford dealers. We're getting close in the beer category and a number of other categories. So, you know, it's really key if you're going to have a successful sports franchise, you have to be embraced by the local business community. And we've been really excited about that. The building's under construction, as I said. We just started laying the turf last week. Seats have started going in. We'll have one of the largest numbers of premium seats in either the USL for both the championship division and the second division. You know, our average ticket price will be amongst the highest in the two leagues combined. We'll probably finish somewhere in the top 2, 3, 4 league in revenues based on what we have committed already this year. So there's a lot of enthusiasm for soccer. We're going to have a second phase, which we've just decided to accelerate and put into the first phase, which is a lot of the practice fields and fields that people could use for soccer development in the community. That'll go into the Ada County development. The parks that are getting built around it make for a pretty dramatic change in that area. The county's undertaken to really build a beautiful park system that connects into hike and bike trails and has all kinds of workout facilities. So it's a great athletic complex now that's going to be a great amenity for the Boise community. And it'll allow us really to have more regional soccer tournaments. There currently aren't any soccer fields that are lighted, so we can't play at night. There are soccer fields that are unlighted in the community. We'll have lights on ours so you can play at night. So it just gives us a chance to grow youth and adult soccer throughout the whole state.
Now, I know Boise State has an NCAA women's team. I'm sure you're going to try to tap in and connect with them. How strong is the youth community there? Because obviously youth is king, and you know, you're hoping someday a kid that's playing youth soccer is going to end up on the Athletic Club Boise.
Well, we're not allowed yet to announce signings, but we're looking forward to having you know, some local players that have a history in the marketplace play with us there. And, you know, we do want to be able to develop via the academy and the local folks that have already had leagues operating there to grow those. As I said, having the ability to have games at night gives you much more time. For folks, which is, you know, as you well know, always a problem, right? How can you find enough hours on the grass, much like it is in hockey? Getting enough ice time is a struggle often. And so because we'll be able to expand the time of day people can play, we expect to see considerable growth up there. But there's a history of soccer up there in committee. Bill Taylor is one of our founders and partners in the things head along. Time working with USA Soccer. And so we're excited about building those kind of relationships with Boise State, some of the other colleges up there that have soccer. We're excited about.
Dee Patterson joining us, the co-founder of Athletic Club Boise, USL1. They're in Boise, Idaho, which is a pretty amazing, beautiful part of the country. Going back to the college, are you going to try to tap in along with the connection to the Basque community? Are you going to try to tap into, you know, obviously the college crowd at Boise State?
I think so. You know, our first blush of focus has been on those people that expressed interest in tickets, those people that are registered and in the USA soccer system playing in that marketplace, the business community there. But even though we're largely sold out of the fixed seats, we still have seats available in the premium seating, we're going to hold several hundred seats a game that will sell day game only. It'll be walk-up seats so people can come and, you know, families and students and other folks that want to decide day of the game to come to the game. We're going to hold those seats so that we'll always have a few available for people to come to the games on the spur of the moment, because we think it's important to grow those sort of tertiary fans that, hey, it's Saturday night, let's try something new. We'll go see the soccer team play.
Opening match again for Athletic Club Boise, USL1 will be in March, and that's coming pretty quick. So it's a World Cup year, obviously, you know that. I mean, can you leverage the World Cup with Boise?
I think we can. You know, part of what we've looked at doing is events all during the World Cup competition in the stadium and in our club areas. We have a premium club space that was the old turf club that was pre-existing from when there were races going on there. So, you know, if you've ever been in a turf club at a horse track, you got lots of TVs and lots of technology to get feeds from all over the country in there in a comfortable environment. And so, yeah, we're planning on doing those kind of events all during the World Cup competition this summer. So it's a chance for people to build community around soccer beyond just the games that AC Boise's playing in that marketplace. And we think that's an important element to really grow the game of soccer. We saw it in previous World Cups, obviously, in the U.S. and in previous Olympics in the U.S., so we think it'll be a good burst of energy for soccer in all of North America, given that we're playing in Mexico, we're playing in Canada, we're playing in the U.S.
Yeah,
hopefully be playing some in NRG Stadium down there.
We got seven of them down here that we're waiting for the mass migration. We're hoping the Netherlands or Germany or, you know, somebody with a crazy cool fan base, Brazil comes in. Everybody's excited about the December 5th draw for sure. You know, I was just sitting here thinking, and I'm probably sure you've already done this, have you guys reached out to find some collaboration with Athletic Bilbao in Spain?
There have been some conversations. I haven't been a part of that, but on the soccer side. And, you know, we think that could be a lot of fun for us. Now, in the past, Bilbao has played games in, you know, friendlies in Boise. And so we'd like to replicate that again. There's a large celebration of the Basque culture and community that happens every about 4 or 5 years in Boise. And so when that comes back up again in a few years, we're thinking we'd like to have them come and play, and particularly now that we've got a stadium that's a soccer-specific stadium.
I'm just curious, like here in Houston, we have so many different groups from all over the world, and they're all groups you can kind of cater to a little bit culturally to bring them in. Are there things culturally you can do with the connection to Basque at games that, you know, connect maybe a little bit more with that fan base in Boise?
Yeah, we've been quite upfront about that. If you look at the lettering in the crest of the logo that we use, I mean, that lettering for AC Boise is sort of Basque related lettering. We try to replicate in the mountains and the fields of grain and whatnot in that logo that represent folks who've come and historically to Boise, be they shepherds, be they growers. It's where they grow all the potatoes for McDonald's. A couple of our partners are involved in that business, and so yeah, we've got one of the people on our advisory board works a lot with the city. She's a Basque. The city council and mayor's folks are engaged there. So, and we've held a number of events downtown in the Basque area where all the restaurants and bars are. So, yeah, we intend to leverage that in the marketplace.
We'll hear this and they'll get some good memories of the Rockets and many, many other things. So thanks so much for coming on. Wishing you all the best of luck with this. It's really, really interesting. Love this Basque connection. Makes it really unique in a lot of ways.
Yep. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're excited about it. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you very much.
All right, that does it for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 tonight. Get the podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. Also, Spotify and Apple. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Soc. I would appreciate that. I would appreciate also the feedback that you can give and also the support of all our great sponsors. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. A big thank you tonight to AJ Russ for stepping in, all our guests and all that listened. Until Wednesday night in Destination 2026, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.